I don't know what I was thinking. Delivering coffee through drones was going to make me hundreds of thousands of dollars because I was getting a huge stake in the company. Well, of course I was, because it was never going to fly.
Hello, fellow risk takers, and welcome to my worst investment ever. Stories of loss to keep you winning. In our community, we know that to win in investing, you must take risks, but to win big, you've got to reduce it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives, and I want to thank my listeners in Oregon right now for listening to this podcast and sharing. Also, fellow risk takers, this is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stotz from A Stotz Academy, and I'm here with featured guest Scott Aldridge. Scott, are you ready to join the mission?
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of all people, I can't wait for your story. Why is that? Well, let me introduce you to the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott is CEO of IP Services and president of the IT Process Institute. He's a best-selling author of the Visible Ops series and a certified chief information security officer. He holds an MBA in cybersecurity and has 30-plus years in IT cybersecurity leadership. Scott empowers organizations to achieve resilience through process excellence, zero trust, and AI-driven securities. Scott, take a minute and tell us about the unique value you are bringing to this wonderful world.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me, Andrew. I love your podcast. I've listened to several episodes now, and I'm just thrilled to be here. So go listen, 5-star, mark it up for all your listeners out there. It's really great. I think the unique value I bring to the world is I kind of was born an entrepreneur. I started literally when I was 9 years old as being an entrepreneur with a Raspberry Patch, believe it or not, and have reinvented that different businesses throughout the years. And of course, the last 30 years, I've been doing cybersecurity and IT management and really focusing on doing best practices. And so the unique value, I would say, is that I really am a little bit like you're on a mission to help 1 million people. We're on a mission actually to help 1 million businesses and IT managers, directors, and cybersecurity professionals keep the world a safer place. Because we read the news every day, and boy, everybody that reads the news knows we need better cybersecurity practices.
Yeah, it's interesting when I think about the risks that are lurking beneath the surface are much, I mean, when you look at the risks that are out there, it must just terrify you as you see what companies are doing and what individuals are doing. I'm just curious, like in your line of work, what are some of the, let's say, top one or two risks that you see that companies, things that companies are exposed to?
Yeah, great question. I'll actually start with a little story I sometimes tell later on, but interesting enough, there's this thing called the dark web, and that's where a lot of the threat actors and the evildoers live in the world of cyber. And they're connected to the internet, so they can be anywhere in the world, and they can hack and attack anywhere, wherever you are. So no business is safe if you're connected to the internet. That's just the truth. But the reality is, there's a thing called the Tor browser. Nobody should be using it. It actually allows you to access a couple browsers, but it's one of the more popular ones on the dark web. And here about 3 months ago, we were doing some lab stuff on some Tor browser, just some cyber chop, workshop stuff, but stumbled onto an ad that popped up, believe it or not, on a site that said, get your ransomware franchise kit today. And it said, for $295, you can join our ransomware franchise. Listed a bunch of benefits that we give you a kit to go out and scan networks, find vulnerabilities, find ports that are open. If you get stuck, you can escalate to our expert team at a 1-800 or a real-time chat. We'll walk you through how to hack in. And then when we get the proceeds, we will split the profits 50-50. We also can use our 1-800 call center to settle up for the crypto because most businesses don't deal in crypto. I'm thinking to myself, if you're a sharp, smart middle school kid, high school kid, and you want to be a little nefarious and you're a little upset at the world, you just go buy a franchise on the dark web and you're a ransomware attacker. To me, that's one of the most scary things I've seen, even just recently.
Oh, that is terrifying. And I think that, you know, the problem is most of us just don't realize that that's out there. We like to think that the world is good. And I have a friend of mine that he does a lot of, he's a very honest and sincere guy, but he has to go on the dark webs to do some stuff to help his clients and all that. And he started telling me what's on there, and it just terrifies me when I hear about it.
It is sickening, honestly, because it's all the way from, you know, any kind of narcotic or nefarious activity or drug to human trafficking to all kinds of just incredibly awful things. It really, truly is a dark place. And yeah, that's exactly right. One other little side note, too, to think about cyber just in general is that, you know, I think about the Caesars MGM Grand hack that happened about a year and a half ago. It was actually, you know, they've got all the best cyber tools, the best cyber people in the world. You know, they're a casino, they're worth millions and billions. And yet one phone call to their help support center to get them to change an administrative password through somebody who phished them, and they changed that, they hacked inside, they elevated the password and was able to bring it to its knees for about 26 days. Cost them right at $198 million is what it cost them. And then just a couple months ago, actually, they just settled for $49 million with a class action suit for all the data that they stole, the confidential information that was there. So just to summarize, right, even the biggest, most sophisticated, willing to invest in cyber because they got a lot to protect, if they're getting hacked, how much easier is it for your typical small business that no longer is not a particular target based on what I shared just a little bit ago? Everybody's a target. One phone call, $149 million. That's pretty crazy to think about.
And just to understand your business for a moment, like if I think about, let's say one of my businesses is a coffee factory. And we've had it for 30 years. We have a list of clients and we have a lot of client detail. We have employee data detail. We've got our recipes, you know, we got all of that stuff. And I just can imagine, you know, if we were to hire an expert like you, it just would be crazy what we would find. But what is the service that you offer? What is it that you generally are doing with companies?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been, you know, privileged to be an advisor to some of the, you know, larger companies across the really the world, but more in the U.S. But my business is IP services. We are what we call a managed services security provider. So we're the team that you subscribe to, that we come in with our, you know, bench of experts, and you don't have to have all of them hired full on. You actually get a whole team for a portion of the cost. But then we also are up on the latest and greatest techniques, methods, and so forth to keep your business safe. So we roll out. And one of the things in my book, which we'll talk about later, probably talk about a zero trust methodology. It's been around for a while. We've been promoting it for years, but the idea is exactly what it says. It's like you trust nothing and verify everything. And that's been said before. And so this idea of using the, what they break it down into seven pillars, if you will, of the way that you do cybersecurity. So I speak to it as layers. So we come in and we start off usually with an assessment of what we call a penetration test. And we look at all the weaknesses in a particular network, whether small, medium, or large. And then when we find those vulnerabilities, we prioritize based on what the risk is, how we're going to stop and plug those holes and put the right layers of cybersecurity in. And it takes a lot of layers. Honestly, you almost can't have enough layers. That's kind of where it's at in the world today. But that's my business. We deliver those services.
And you focus on small, medium, or large size businesses.
So we may do what I would call, generally speaking, SMB. So usually, you know, could be we have a handful under 100, just under 100, but usually 100 to about 2,500 employees is a really good fit, sweet spot for us.
And just out of curiosity, I mean, I'm talking about totally selfishly about my business and thinking about it. You know, when you come in, let's say that you come in and I don't know how long an engagement would last. Maybe you can tell us that. But the other thing is, like, I'm assuming that it would be pretty quickly. You'd be like, we need to close this door. We need to close this door. Like, you're going to basically find 3 to 5 major vulnerabilities that we didn't even know. And you're going to help us, you know, fix those immediately. Or how does it work?
Yeah, so it's exactly right. A penetration test are typically different methods and levels, but we actually use a patented process and we actually use a third party that we're partnered with. And the reason is because if we bring in a cybersecurity program, right, some of those layers, we can't be the ones that are managing your cybersecurity and then tell you we're doing a really good job. We need to have a trusted, validated third party that can attest to the fact that we really have plugged the holes in your security postures tight. But within that relationship, we have the ability to do some different types of penetration testing. And at the end of the podcast today, I actually have a little offer. I extend to your audience around that. But the point is that what we do find stuff, we've never ran a report, hundreds, maybe even thousands of companies. We've not ran into a report where we don't get some findings. And most of them, quite frankly, are a lot of things they don't think about. And of late, the more recent one is they've added an element of scanning for the deployment of AI, your ChatGPTs that's on your network. And it actually will give us a summary of the vulnerability, kind of a score. as to how risky that particular AI that you're using is on your network, because that's just one thing that company may not think about. And that's one thing that the penetration test actually checks off for.
Now, I think that any business owner that hears what you just said says, I need that. But the question is it difficult? Does it require a lot of work from me when I hire you? And is it expensive?
Yeah, so the cool part is that it's not difficult. And we actually can do it incognito. So you don't necessarily have to disrupt your IT teams after you want to check on them because you got, you know, Bob, Mike, and Sarah telling you, we are good cyber-wise. Sometimes that's an interesting thing to be able to do as, you know, an owner or a president or an executive to say, I want to check on my team. It's trust but verify, right? Yep, it's not trying to be dishonorable to your team and not trusting them, but you got to verify. And that's the way you can verify. So it's very easy to do. It's pretty simple. Pen test can run from $2,500 up to about $10,000 for the size of companies that I just said. The new practice and the best practice over the last year and a half, 2 years now, is they used to do different types of tests like once a year, then a couple times a year, once a quarter, vulnerability scanning. The new thing is that every month you should be running a variety of different vulnerability and penetration tests on your network. And the reason is because environments in our world, IT environments, network systems, operating systems, applications, they're forever changing. And every time something changes, a new vulnerability may be exposed. So every month doing, you know, the regiment of, so that's one of the services we offer is we actually will come in, deploy the penetration testing services and some other things around it. And then we'll be able to do remediation and then put layers and work on you over time because everybody can't budget to afford everything right away. But penetration tests are a little bit expensive actually to run, but they're a very fast way to see where those big holes might be in your security.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you on the show because I know for myself and for the listeners, you know, this can really hit home. And so I'm interested in learning more. But now it's time to share your worst investment ever. And since no one goes into their worst investment thinking it will be, tell us a bit about the circumstances leading up to it and tell us your story.
Sure. So live out here in the Northwest. I'm actually out in Oregon in the United States. And here in the Northwest, we're kind of the coffee capital of the world. We were doing coffee, obviously not before other countries were doing coffee, years before the United States, but it became somewhat of a popular thing. The home of Starbucks is in Seattle. And so coffee is a big, big deal. And I had a lot of interest in coffee. And I know you just noted you're in the coffee business. Yep. So we had somebody kind of pitch us here about 5 years ago on the coffee drone disaster is what I'm going to call it. And it's, you know, kind of this dream idea to be able to deliver coffee with a coffee drop, be the world's first drone delivery, because Amazon's doing a lot of drone stuff. They were testing it about 4 or 5 years ago, became this big thing. Then it basically became straight out of a TED talk, right? Like you could just think it, click a button on your phone, and then the drone shows up with your hot cup of whatever you like, right? So I'm thinking this is fantastic, right? I love coffee, interested in the business, always have been a coffee drinker and, you know, pretty enthusiast, if you will. And as a matter of fact, I was doing coffee stuff and working with had a little coffee stand before Starbucks was even in our town. Now there's like 10 Starbucks in our town. It's that kind of thing. But anyway, so they pitched it. I listened to the deck, talked to a couple people, sent on a couple calls, threw in 10K, 3% stake. I'm thinking that's a lot for Tim, but they're pitching it's not much. I'm thinking this is going to be a, you know, caffeinated, charged empire. All excited. 3 months later, the FAA, of course, did the cease and desist on all the drone delivery stuff. They're now reviving it some because you're seeing drone delivery. And of course, who knew, right? I mean, the idea that you're flying liquids around stuff that could be, you know, hot coffee on people's heads, honestly. So the final straw, you know, is of course, the prototype literally spilled this Americana. You know, the pilot drone was grounded. It spilled it all over the place. It was actually on a video. And so that's my worst investment. I don't know what I was thinking. Delivering coffee through drones was going to make me hundreds of thousands of dollars because I was getting a huge stake in the company. Well, of course I was, because it was never going to fly. No pun intended.
So how would you summarize the lessons that you learned from that?
I think the practicality is like, you know, first off, when you're investing in something, it's a little bit of a catch-22, because if you want to, you know, be an early adopter, right, and you've got something inventive, that creates value. And it's, of course, intellectual property, and you're the firstest with the mostest and the bestest. It becomes that kind of thing. So there's big opportunity, but I also think your risk is huge, you know, much, much higher. So maybe for me, thinking a little farther down, so things are a little more tested, a little more beta, a little more proven, not jumping in just based on a great PowerPoint and a great pitch deck. really see that the product has been proven that it really can work. If it's a product-based, you know, thing, if it's something else, it might be a different thing. But that's my biggest lesson is wait, calm down. You don't need to jump in, be in the first with the most. If it's a bad idea, you're going to lose money anyway. So it's crazy. That's my lesson.
Okay. By the way, do you know who is the originator of saying the first is with the most is?
I do not.
So it was Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a cavalryman in the southern side of the Civil War. And he was one of the winningest, you know, cavalry leaders. And they asked him, how did you, you know, do it? He said, I get there first is with the most is.
I like it. And
that was good. And it's interesting, you know, one of the things that made me think about in China, they're doing coffee delivery all the time by drone.
Mm-hmm.
And they've set it up where they're delivering to like a unit and people go to like a park and they go, I want KFC. There's a whole thing. You press button. I want KFC. I want a Starbucks. I want a this and that. 5 minutes later, a drone arrives, comes into this unit, deposits whatever it has. And then a box opens, you take it. And now, and it's got like storage areas and stuff. It's incredible what they're doing.
I read about that. I read a little blip on that. Honestly, I didn't believe it. I didn't know it really existed. I thought, Definitely. Well, that must just be something. Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
Well, it's getting more. They're doing delivery now in some markets. You know, Amazon's doing delivery in certain areas. But yeah, way before its time, not proven, not a good method. Yeah. It was a bad investment.
And if I look at that also, one of the things that I just think about is business is so hard. Business is hard. You never know where. As I tell people when they start business, I said, the most important thing in starting your business is don't make the wrong mistake. And they say, well, what's the wrong mistake? I say, I have no idea what it is. You know, you don't either, but just don't make it. Yeah. But you can't do a business without taking risk. But, you know, the product market fit and trying, you know, you're not the only one that come on with something like this. The cannabis space is also filled with so many people that went into it with all the excitement. They were high with excitement, how we say. And then all of a sudden the regulation changes. And that's something that we've got to always think about. But you just never know where it would come from. So let's now go and imagine a young man or woman right now today. And they've had an idea presented to them similar to what you faced. They're pretty excited about it. So based on what you learned from this and what you continue to learn in your life, I mean, look at all the risks and other things that you've seen through your career. What would be one action that you'd recommend that they take in order to avoid suffering the same fate?
Yeah, I think you honestly, probably the biggest is due diligence. And people tend to shortcut it because we get excited. The passion takes over. We wanted to be in a business. We want to do a business. We've got an idea. And so we let the passion rule and we really don't do the due diligence. And I mean on all fronts. And I actually mean that even if you're acquisitioning a business, a lot of smaller companies, they just don't know how to do great proper due diligence. And then they don't find out where the issues are beforehand and the investment doesn't turn out. But if you're starting, I think the same rule applies. You have to really do your homework and it's not easy. And you've got to be prepared for that doesn't work or no, or this is a bad idea. Stop, drop, and roll and look for the next investment and then continue the due diligence. And again, nothing's going to be a sure thing. You're never going to eliminate risk, right? There's even the most proven businesses are risk. Now, even franchises fail a lot. So anyway, I think that's the biggest thing is due diligence for me. Really take your time, be patient, be smart, and be willing to walk away.
Yeah, that's great advice. I did a research study many years ago when I was an analyst, you know, full time. And that was, I looked at 5,000 M&A deals and across the world over 20 years. And I asked the question, I wasn't so concerned about the share price because I knew that you don't want to own the company that's buying. You want to own the company that's being acquired. And I also know that you can't make money if you buy after it's announced. And it's illegal to trade before it's announced if you're an insider. Now, if you can figure out the conditions of what make a company attractive for takeover, then you could build a portfolio of companies to say the probability of takeover here is high.
Sure.
But what I was more concerned about is what was the return that the company that bought other companies got in the future? Because obviously, we're always going to hear that this is a good idea to make this acquisition, to make this investment. And what I found was that about 78% of the time, within 3 to 5 years, the profitability of the acquiring company have fallen.
Mm.
Meaning basically only 20% of the time did an M&A transaction with a big companies listed in the stock market, smartest people with all the resources, only 20% of the time did it actually add value to the acquiring company. And once you understand those statistics, it helps you to think, yeah, due diligence is important, and thinking about so much about the integration, about all that. Now, that's M&A. You were talking about investing in a startup, but the due diligence is still the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
So let's talk about a resource. What's a resource that you'd recommend for our listeners? I know you've also got a new book coming out, right?
Yeah, I do. So one of the resources that I'm excited is this year I released a book called The Visible Ops Cybersecurity. It's really about enhancing your cybersecurity posture with practical guidance. It comes from a series of books called The Visible Ops Handbooks, released in later 2000s. And over 15 years, we've sold about 350,000 copies of this series of books. I authored the last book by myself, co-authored some of the others. But that book is pretty exciting. It's an Amazon bestseller already this year, and it's doing very well. And it really is an altruistic book in one sense. I kind of give away our secret sauce. If you want to know how we run our company and how we design, you know, our services, it's built on zero trust and having the right philosophy, and it starts with leadership. And so I kind of go through all those things in the chapters. And then the last chapter is the golden thread, where I weave a golden needle of thread through all of the various chapters to show how that really builds a really airtight cybersecurity program and posture. Excited. I'm also working on a new book called The Visible Ops AI, Artificial Intelligence Governance with Practical Guidance. I think Best Practices is the subtitle. And so it's working on that, not finished yet, but it's getting close. I'm excited about that. And that kind of comes from just recent stuff that's not really a big formalized study. But I read a study between business being 500 and 1,000 employees. They have about 23 different types of AI that is being ran in their business, and they likely don't hardly know it. They know some of it. And we don't think about, you know, how we govern and control and have policy around that to protect the business. And people are loading up all kinds of amazing things like, you know, client lists and financials and recipes. And they're thinking, woohoo, this is amazing how it's organizing my stuff and making us so more efficient. But they don't realize, is that data secure? What AI is it going into? Who could be looking at that stuff? So that's the book I'm kind of excited about that'll be coming out here this, you know, at the end of the year, right at the beginning of next year. But Visible Ops book is a resource that I would really encourage everybody to take a look at. And I have another iteration of that that I wrote a few months ago that's called The Visible Ops Executive Companion Guide, built off the book. And this one is a more of a, not a 400-page cybersecurity book that's a little heavy duty for some. And it's a 105-page executive guide, no geek speak. So you kind of talks about practical things. Like we look at the Deloitte & Touche study in there where it says, hey, if you're of this kind of business, you should be spending this amount of your budget on IT. And oh, by the way, out of that budget, you should be spending this amount on your cybersecurity program. And it looks at things like, you're a candy company. Make world-class candy. Do it well. You're not a cyber ops organization. You're not trying to be a cybersecurity company. Why try to be? So that's the stuff, the practical stuff that it gets into as well.
I'm wondering if what this ends up leading to is that people move away from ChatGPT type of independent, and they move into something that I have on my computer, but I don't use that much, which is called Copilot as an example, because it's built into the Microsoft infrastructure and they can implement security with that. Is that where we're going with this?
Well, I'm not so convinced, because, you know, usually the fine print like Google, right? We all know how that works. And we all know about the Amazon world, right? We start talking about the barbecue in the backyard we're going to get new this summer and what starts showing up on your ads, right? Their fine print actually gives them usually rights to most of your data, to access the data. It's supposed to be anomalous. There's some fine print in there. There's some rules, some guidance, some governance around laws that what they can and can't do. But they are very good at taking this piece of data and that piece of data and then filling in the blank between what it is. So I'm not convinced that any of the AI, unless you're paying for a subscription at a business level service and you've looked at their policies and they're telling you, they're in writing that they do follow security protocols and your confidential data is kept confidential. Now, in theory, the latest iteration of ChatGPT with a business account, I think it's $20 or $30 a month, it's supposed to meet that bar. But I do think we need to move cautiously, because historically, we've seen things that were supposed to be, everybody was convinced they were, but we're not totally sure that they are in terms of security or following the policies, or they're doing the service the way that they say they're doing the service and keeping it private. So I'm not to be a skeptic or whatever, but I just think there's a lot of caution around AI that needs to be applied and you need to be careful. But there's a lot of things you can put in there and a lot of efficiencies you can gain about stuff, and it can be used, and I think it should be used, and businesses should, it's a competitive advantage, right? And they need to use it in the way that they can use it, or build their own LLM or their own language model that's unique to their business that they can keep privatized. They can put the right visible op cybersecurity controls around it, and that will make, keep them safe and keep their data safe.
Great. Now, let me ask you, what is your number one goal for the next 12 months?
Well, number one is I'm, you know, continue to work on kind of growing the top line revenue at my IP services company. So we're looking for new logos and working on that pretty hard. But the other, you know, side of that is we really have a little bit of altruistic goal with, you know, the IT Process Institute. We kind of do research, benchmarking and prescriptive guidance a little lighter on the research and, excuse me, on the research and the benchmarking. We more work with a couple of other organizations now because they can do it more efficiently and faster and less money, quite frankly. But then we take all that data and we, you know, look through it, analyze it, sometimes put some regression analysis on, do different things with it. And then we're able to kind of come back with some science to this managed by fact, not by belief, which is really what the series of books of Visible Ops is all about. It's looking at what's proven both quantitatively and qualitatively with, you know, science type methodology, science and research methodologies, and then saying, apply these practices and you know you're going to get the results, right? And so that's the prescriptive side. So that's where I camp in. And that's an altruistic goal. It's trying to get better IT performance, higher user satisfaction, safer companies. Making the world cyber safe is a big, big part for us. It's really huge.
Yeah. You mentioned that you had an offer, and I just for the audience, we'll have links to your books that you've mentioned in the show notes, but maybe you can talk briefly about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, come on a podcast like this and to your audience, that's so unique. I've got a couple of things I'd love to do. Number one, I'll give you a business text line here in just a second that you can text SECURE25 to, but here's what I'll do. I'm going to send you a PDF copy of the Executive Companion book. It sells for $17.95 on Amazon. I'm going to just send that gratis. My team will. They'll get it out to you. And if you do the SECURE25 to the text I'm giving you. And then second, and this one I've got three of. So I got three in the bag that I can do for the, your companies, your audience. And that is I can do a penetration test, do the scan to look for the AI, the stuff I talked about in this podcast, and give you a great report that you can go back and use with your team or your current provider. Of course, if there's gaps, we'd love to talk to you about that as well. But we're going to do that. A lot of value in that. Those are $2,500 to $10,000. You could Google pen test for my company and you're going to see it pop up. You'll be surprised. And it's an awesome pen test. It's a patented process that we do. And I'm going to give away three of those. So here it is, SECURE25. Put those, you know, that little text in to 541-359-1269. One more time, 541-359-1269. And we're here in the USA. That's USA number.
Wonderful. Amazing. That's an exceptional opportunity. 541-359-1269.
That is it.
Okay. Absolutely. And said text SECURE25.
That's right. Yep.
That's exciting. Well, listeners, there you have it. Another story of loss to keep you winning. Remember, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. And now I realize there's a lot of opportunity with reducing cybersecurity risk in your lives. And as we conclude, Scott, I want to thank you again for joining our mission. And on behalf of Ace Dots Academy, I hereby award you alumni status for turning your worst investment ever into your best teaching moment. Do you have any parting words for the audience?
I don't. Thank you for having me today. And I just, let's keep the world a cyber safe place.
Amen. And that's a wrap on another great story to help us create, grow, and protect our well fellow risk takers. Let's celebrate that today we added one more person to our mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. This is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stott, saying, I'll see you on the upside.